Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It really is tax day today, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And we are done with our taxes, thank God. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 17th, 2012, episode 382. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Tuesday morning to you, and I do mean a good Tuesday morning.
Well, if you insist on being accurate about it.
Somebody with perfect comedic timing could produce this much energy in one shot.
You gotta learn that your time in the saddle ain't as rough as the life in between. And the fence isn't there for you to straddle. And you can't change horses in the middle of your dream.
Well, absolutely good Tuesday morning to you. It is tax day, and is it over for you guys? Are you done?
No, we filed an extension, so we just put off the misery. With moving and everything, it was hard to get everything ready, so we just filed an extension.
Yeah, that's why you're supposed to do it, like, in January, but, yeah, that never happened. So
never happened.
We finally got things wrapped up yesterday. My husband had stopped pulling his hair out, cussing me, cussing you, cussing the, you know, when you have to measure the square, like, because he's so honest. And, you know, I have a home office, and I'm a contracted employee. So, he measured the square footage of my office. Like, that's
nobody does that. Everybody just guesses really high.
I know. He's so honest, though. Like, it's, like, ridiculous. I'm like, honey, it's, like, 1,000 square feet. It's, like, 1,000,000 square feet. Just write it down. Who cares? I had to go and get – this is what I realized was very sad, is that I have a savings account with my bank, and it's not very impressive, as any horse girl would know. You don't have a great savings account. But he's like, you got to find the interest. Like the interest on my savings account.
All 1%?
How much did I make last year on my savings account? So I get online, I log out. Oh, I can't remember the password. I have to redo my whole online account with the bank. 25 minutes later, I call him in. I'm like, honey, I got my interest number. It's how much money I made on my savings account for the entire year. 9 cents. Penny. Like, there's got to be a better way to use my money. 9 cents. And you know what? Like, he wrote that down. He wrote
what?
That down. I'm like, I don't think you have to write them down when they're that small. He's like, I'm going to write it down. Like, he's so honest. It's like, we made 9 pennies, Uncle Sam. Here you go. Drives me crazy. It's like, I don't want to get audited.
I got to imagine, too. Now, I'm just saying, I don't mean to offend you or anything, but you are a horse girl, and I've known a lot of them. I don't imagine you're very good at keeping receipts either.
Yeah. You know how when we went to Norco, California, and I was supposed to save my gas receipts to give to you? Have you received any gas receipts yet?
No.
When did we go to Norco?
Last year.
A long time ago. So, I'm a little bit bad about that. And then, I didn't think it was fair because gas prices went up so high. So I was just going to fill up my truck and give you a couple gas tank receipts. But then gas prices went up too high. So I'm waiting for them to go back down. So I keep things fair for you guys.
I appreciate the effort there, Jamie. I'm not sure I understand the logic, but I appreciate the effort.
Well, if I did not spend $180 on a gas tank and only spend $150 on a gas tank, then that's the bill I'm going to give you. I'm trying to be nice. I know, it's a little silly. Hey, we're going to have a fun show. It's going to be ups and downs because we've got good news and bad news, and then we have, like, the most happy person in the world on the show, and then we're going to have, like, some kind of I've got some sad news. I'm going to deliver here in just a minute. Let's find out from Jennifer what's on today's show.
On today's two or more for Tuesday edition, we've got two intrepid show hosts with spring fever attitude adjustment issues. Templeton Thompson, our favorite dual talent singer and songwriter, stops by with some exciting news. Steve Maxwell of A Campus Equestrian makes an appearance today with all the intercollegiate results and reviews from the season thus far. And once again, the velvety voice of Victoria Spicer graces the interweb airwaves on behalf of Horse and Country TV, this week's double duo of boredom battling videos for horse people. So stay tuned for the party, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer, and you're up.
Okay, well, apparently this is old news because I looked at the date on this news story, and it was written by one Victoria Spicer on February 2nd of this year. And I just saw this news story because it was like one of those, like, if you like this story, click on this one. And then I clicked on that one. And then if you like this story, you should click on this one. And I clicked. So somehow it led me down the road to find a story that says charity makes an urgent bit appeal to help working horses in Gambia. And apparently a UK-based charity is making an urgent appeal for people to send their bits, like horse donkey bits, snaffle bits that are 4 to 5 inches long, because apparently in Gambia, the people, you know, they have a lot of working animals, donkeys and horses and mules, and they don't really have any good bits. So due to the design of these bits, they're having very horrific tongue and mouth injuries. So this charity, the Gambian Horse and Donkey Trust, wants to replace these ones with kinder, just regular snaffle bits. So, Jennifer, if you, the link is in the show notes. If we could at least post something about it on Facebook, I'm inspired to, you know, what horse person does not have a box of bits? You know,
exactly.
I mean. Exactly. Jennifer, how many bits do you have in a box sitting there that you're like, oh, I may use them someday, but you really aren't ever going to use them again?
Oh, 30 or 40 of them, at least, yeah.
Yes, yes, and how awesome would it be to send them to a country where the animals are suffering? Apparently they use ropes and they tie them in knots, and by the end of the day the knots are so tight that the horses and donkeys are suffering mouth injuries and they just don't have anything else. So you can ship the bits to... it's just you send them over to England and they actually will distribute them for you. So I'm gonna put together a box and I'm gonna go around in my neighborhood and just collect bits that people have that they're not using and send them to this charity. And we can ask Victoria about if they still need them, if it's still going on. But maybe just post the link or the address is actually in the story here and do a little bit of good. Come on, I'm inspired. Are you guys inspired yet?
I wonder if they need some 6.5-inch, because we probably still have them left from when I had my Percheron.
Oh, you may want to keep those, Glenn. Those are going to be really useful when you get your standard bred. Yeah, send those over. I'm sure they need them. I have one more daily, Winnie.
Okay.
This is like a daily Winnie that is not an exciting one. This is kind of sad. Remember last week we had, maybe 2 weeks ago, we had Peter Adkins on the show because he was trying to do some fundraising to get to badminton. I mean, he was selling things like from carrots. You know, you could buy Henny, his horse, H.J. Hampton, the Run Henny Run videos. Peter Adkins, you could buy his horse some carrots or some apples or, you know, a plane flight or entry to badminton, you know. He was just trying to do some interesting ways to fundraise. Well, he was about to leave for badminton, and his flight was delayed for an extra day. So he goes out, and he takes Henny out for a hack. Henny spooks, falls over. Peter, on the day before he goes to badminton, breaks his leg. Just devastating. Three times Peter Adkins has tried to get to badminton, and two times for the horse getting hurt, and then one time was him, and all he keeps saying is he's just grateful it's not Henny. He'd rather it be him breaking his leg than the horse, obviously. But he will not be able to ride at Badminton after all. And he's Australian, and these guys are ridiculously tough. So check out what he does. He breaks his leg. He makes a splint of tree branches and vet wrap. This is a compound fracture. Through
it was
the
sticking out, right? Yeah.
Yes. Through the skin, bone sticking out. And he tree branches and vet wrap and then went to the ER. And apparently the doctor was incredibly impressed with his ability to wrap his own leg through a compound fracture. And he said that when he was asked if he was in pain, he's heartbroken. He says that he's absolutely heartbroken. Now, what he wants to do is wants to roll over all that fundraising to go to Lemuel, and I'm not sure when that is, but that's another qualifier for the Olympics. He still wants to go to the Olympics with a compound fracture, broken leg. So my daily winning goes to Peter. Speedy healing, my friend. Terribly
well,
sorry.
They actually did surgery last night and put some plates and stuff in there, didn't they? Some pins and plates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plates and screws and fins and all sorts of stuff. Just devastating. Just devastating.
Samantha from Venting Nation talked to him, and he said, well, the doctors say 6 weeks. I'm sure I can get it done. I can be riding again in 3 or 4. And knowing him, he probably will be with the cast on and everything.
I'm sure he will be. And what's funny is I think, I don't know if it was Samantha or not, but they ask him, can we do anything for you? Can we get you anything? And he wrote, how about a new leg? Like, these guys are so tough. So he'll be fine, I'm sure. But it's just got to be, that'd be tough. But good luck. He's been through so much with that horse. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I have a bit of happier Daily Winnies for you today.
Good.
Maybe if it plays. Let's imagine the Daily Winnie music. Like, there we go.
There it is.
I have two congratulations. It's baby time. Not only is it baby time at Lane's End Farm, I don't know if you noticed their post this morning. This isn't my Daily Winnie, just a side note. They posted that they've had 101 babies so far this year and more to come.
Jeez.
That's a lot of little babies running around. 101.
That's crazy.
Anyway, my Daily Winnie goes out to Jackie Baker. Regarding Horses Blog, Jackie was our first guest on the first show of the Horse Radio Network many years ago in Stable Scoop. She's been on our show a number of times. She's a good friend of ours, and she just had her first baby, little boy, yesterday named Isaac. So congratulations to Jackie on her little boy named Isaac. Cute picture she texted to us yesterday. Everybody, she had one of those pregnancies that people hate her for. Other women just hate her. She wasn't sick at all. She had no pain discomfort. Never missed a day of work.
She was skinny the entire time except for her belly, I'm sure. And no morning sickness. Oh, my God, this is so fun. Being pregnant is awesome. Yeah, I hate her.
And apparently the baby just popped out, and that was it. And she had the perfect pregnancy. So congratulations to Jackie and her husband and the little boy named Isaac. And I have another baby one. This one, I got to tell you what happened, Janie. I got up. You know I get up early. Well, this morning wasn't so early. It was almost 6 o'clock. I usually get up at 4. Well, almost 6 o'clock, I'm sitting there, and I come out, and I turn. I don't know what you do, but I turn my email on, and then I turn Facebook on. And right away, I get this note on Facebook from Dominique of Zebras R Us out there in Norco. And she was so excited. She said, I had a baby. And I was like, what? I didn't know you were pregnant. And she said, I had a baby. She was so excited. She wanted to do an interview. Now, keep in mind, it's 3 a.m. her time, 6 a.m. my time. It's 3 a.m. her time, and she's up so excited. And so I actually did an interview with her about the baby she just had. So this was the first interview at 3 a.m., first interview with a woman after just having a baby. So let's hear this short interview I did with Dominique of Zebras R Us. Going to be starting here shortly.
I have never interviewed somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning who just had a baby.
Well, I am very excited, Glenn, and I'm excited to talk to anybody right now.
I know when you, when you Facebooked me and I went, it's 3 o'clock in the morning there. Why is Dominique Facebooking me? And I was like, I looked at your Facebook page and saw this picture. Tell us what you had.
I have an amazing little donkey baby. And what that is, it's a half donkey and half zebra baby. The dad was a zebra and the mom is a purebred donkey. So we have a little cross here and it's a bounding baby boy.
It's big too. Holy cow, compared to mom, this thing's half mom size already.
You know what, Glenn? It's the funniest story. April 2nd, we started watching her wax up. And that was like the key. We were waiting. She's going to have the baby tonight. I slept outside for a week and just in my truck watching the stall with this donkey that's going to have a baby, anxious. And I finally gave up. I said, it'll come when it comes. I'm over it. I'm tired and I'm going to bed. And you wouldn't believe it. Today, April 17th, it's my birthday. You would not believe it. It's a God gift. And I wrote on my Facebook sometime around 10 and I said, what a little blessing if I have a zonky baby in the morning, you know, because it'll be my birthday. And I was just wrapping up stuff and I have to feed my last feeding. I have some other babies I'm tending for. I went out at 11:30 and I kind of looked at that donkey and she was just agitated and I kept checking on her and sure enough at 1:15 in the morning she went into labor and it was about a 32 minute process.
Did you ever have to, do you have to help with this baby being so big?
No, not at all. She's perfect. Everything was wonderful. I called about 3 people freaking out. I go, there's a leg. They go, that's great. There should be a leg.
Hopefully there's a head at some point.
Oh, my gosh. It was almost like a little alien critter that came out because I was like, you saw hoof, which is normal, and then it was like brown and then stripes and then brown and stripes. I'm like, yay, we got our donkey baby.
I got to tell you, this is an interesting-looking critter. I think alien was a good word.
The spaceship, if I didn't see it be born, I'd think a spaceship dropped it off.
Because its legs are, for the listeners, his legs are zebra-like. It has the stripes on the legs, but then the coat is odd. I think the coat's a lot like mom's, huh?
Yes, and that's typical for zonkies, or z-donks, sometimes people call them. They almost have the donkey top half and the zebra bottom half, which goes along with the kicking and all the great stuff that zebras do.
And the ears, I think the ears, a ruler, a foot-long ruler, you could not measure this baby's ears.
No, huge ears. I'm almost debating on calling him Radar because he's got satellite radar.
There
system.
You go. That's good. I like that. Now, what's with the face, the brown on the face? That, well, sort of like mom, too, actually.
Yep. The mom is a dark bay with a white muzzle and a white belly, and she has like tan highlights by her eyes and muzzle. And so this little boy kind of has mom's face, but he actually, I'll get some better pictures in the morning, he has stripes on his ears also.
Now, is he stood up obviously right away in this picture. He's standing up. We'll post this picture on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Now, he stood up right away. Is he nursing and everything?
Oh, yes. And you could tell it's definitely half zebra. This thing came out kicking and fighting and ready to go. Mom's like, calm down. Yeah. He's like, I'm a zebra. I got to run. I got to go.
There's something out here to get me. And Mom's like, no, we're in a pen in California. We're fine. Well, congratulations, yeah. Dominique. That's so cool.
Thank you so much, and I'm so excited. And
knowing
you,
you're a hell of a businesswoman. Knowing you, you already have this thing booked into a movie tomorrow.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, you never know. It's definitely. But I'm going to get the news out here. I'm going to get the news out here to come look at this little guy. And, you know, Glenn, the greatest thing about this process is in all my knowledge and I've been trying to research zebras and crosses. There has never been one documented full length or imprinted at birth. And this has been a super big deal for me. This is the first baby that literally I have imprinted, and we're not going to pull it from the mom, and we're going to see how handleable and gentle it's going to be as it grows older. So it's definitely not for sale. It's almost like a little project. It's Project Critter. It'd be really interesting to see the behavioral patterns and what it does. You know, it's a hybrid, so it'll be, we're really going to work with it every day and just see what happens with it.
Well, congratulations, Dominique, and happy birthday to you, too.
Thank you so much. Well, this is the best gift I ever could have got.
We're going to cut right there.
That's fantastic. God, she is so excited, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. My goodness. That girl's never going to sleep.
I know. She did say after the interview, she said, I better go back and get some sleep. I have a birthday to have tomorrow or today.
She already got her present.
I know.
It.
I posted a picture. Go to our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Did you see the picture?
It is so stinking cute.
I see the sleepy eyes going, turn the lights off. I just woke up.
It's like it's reacting to the flash of the camera. Like,
It does kind of look like somebody dropped it from a spaceship, though, I have to say. It looks like it was put together by a committee. So.
Well, so did the donkey. It's not the most flattering donkey photo either.
No, she admits it too, but she was so cute and so excited. I just had to record that interview. It was so cute. Thank you so much,
definitely.
Dominique, for letting me know so early about that. Well, we have someone on the line I see just commented on that photo who checked it out as well, and that's our friend Templeton Thompson. Tempe, you just saw that photo too. What do you think?
Oh, my God, I'm in love. She's adorable. And Mom is beautiful. They're beautiful.
I have a soft spot because, you know, Darian Farrell, Attitude Jack, and who licensed our Planet Cowgirl clothing line, they have Zelda the Zorse, who is just a rock star. So I'm you know, I just think they're all precious and beautiful. So congratulations.
Can you believe how big this baby is compared to Mom, though? Oh, my God.
It's huge. I know. And that's so cute how you guys are like, would you just let me go back to sleep, man? I've only been out here for a few minutes. Come on.
She posted about 1,000 more pictures at her website, too. So
awesome.
Thank you to Dominique.
Give a break.
Anyway.
Congratulations, Dominique. Happy birthday.
And waxing up, we had that happen with my pony, too. She waxed up about 2-3 weeks before she had the baby. It's like, all right, just get it over with already. You drive it, it's not here.
Wow.
But,
how exciting. Oh, God.
Stuff.
I don't think I'd get anything done.
I don't think she's going to get anything done.
I would just be like, okay, I'm off for a year. I don't do anything. I'm just playing with this baby. So that's it.
She did tell me off air that she did not have a photo shoot today or a movie that she was doing with one of the animals, and she was very happy about that. So, well, congratulations to you two. You had a baby.
A baby. You're so funny. You're right, because I always say new CDs are like birthing a baby. So, yeah, we sure do. Icy Blue Heart, limited release. Only that your hot little hands have a copy of, and just a few others from my Kickstarter rock stars for all the pledges and support. So, yeah, it happened. It actually came out. Were you just shocked when you got yours? Like, finally. It actually exists.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, well, I don't have one because I was off that day. So I'm totally, like, I cannot wait to get this CD. So tell us a little bit about, you know, like, the songs. I wanted to know, because we've been playing them kind of one by one on the show and making people, like, come online and guess who the original songwriter was, because this is a CD that you've done of cover songs. How
right.
did you choose some of these songs? Because there's some random songs in there.
There's some random songs. You're hilarious. Well, most of those songs... And it's very early, and I'm, like, working on my first cup of coffee. I know you guys have been up since, you know, 3 a.m. or whatever, but not me. So I'm waking up. So I'm going to look at the CD and refer to it and go, what did we record, actually? No, I'm kidding. But all the songs, they're all, like, songs that I grew up on from childhood. A couple I didn't really kind of have in my wheelhouse already, but they made perfect sense. But, like, one of them I grew up on, Run for the Roses. That's just Dan Fogelberg's song, Run for the Roses, is just, to me, like, the ultimate best song that's ever been written, ever, in my opinion, at least one of the best. I know there are amazing songs out there, but I just remember singing that as a kid, you know, and I just think it's the ultimate horse song too, and just about life and the journey. And I'm a huge Linda Ronstadt fan, so, you know, doing Love is a Rose. And did y'all know that's a Neil Young song? You probably do because you've got the credits, Glenn. But anyway, yeah, it's been fun too because, you know, as a kid growing up singing these songs, I didn't pay attention to who wrote them. You know, that wasn't right. Something I was into. I was interested in, but I didn't pay attention to. I was more interested in the actual artist who recorded the songs. And it's been really fun to research the songs and know who wrote them and who recorded the song first. And you can get on Wikipedia and find out all kinds of stuff. I'm sure everybody does.
Yeah,
that,
we've been doing the same thing as we've been playing your songs all along. And the only one we haven't played, which we're going to play today, is Icy Blue Heart. We've been kind of saving the title track. Now, I got to tell you, Jamie and I both agree with this, and the listeners did too. There are some of these songs that were definitely better than the original. You did so much better than the original. Some of them actually, that I know Jamie said, I haven't really liked the original list, but I really like it when Tempe sings it. So either way,
well, thanks. I'm very honored by that because I'll tell you, as an artist, it was really intimidating to work on this record just because these are iconic songs. They're iconic artists, songwriters, you know, people that someday if I get a chance to meet, I hope I don't just sound like a total idiot talking to them because I'm a big fan, you know. You know, I know just like in anything, we're all just people and we just do what we do. So these folks happen to do what they do. And, you know, everyone has their gifts and what they're good at and what they work on. But still, very intimidating, you know. I mean, I remember when we were, you know, working on, gosh, I don't know. Well, every single one of them was just, you know, every time I've sung these songs and still when we're doing live Icy Blue Heart shows, because that's a whole other thing to tell you all about, because we're playing like crazy. The band is playing like crazy. I'm so excited. And it's always a little intimidating, but I've finally gotten to a point of going, it's okay, I'm just going to do my interpretation, and that's enough, that's valid. You know, it'll be like how I do it, and it's the same thing, I'm sure, for any other artist when they're covering songs. You just have to go, okay, well, I'm going to do it like me, and that's okay, you know, and that's enough. So, but you guys
that
are so sweet. Thank you.
That has to be the biggest challenge, Templeton, is to accept the fact that you're gonna give it your own spin. Okay, so I watched The Voice religiously, and I'm like, you're going to make it your own. You're going to make it your own. You made every one of them your own. That's so Christina Aguilera, sorry. But you made them all your own.
Thanks. Thank you.
And I love that about it. Well, and so when you're creating this project and you decide to go like, okay, say Linda Ronstadt went this key and then you decide to go down there instead of up there and you make these mm-hmm. vocal changes, is that
right.
a challenge to you? Like, do you have to listen back to it to get it, or are you like sold immediately?
Well, that kind of varies, especially now that we're actually, you know, with the band, the Icy Blue Heart band, we're picking more songs now and going out and just singing them live, and the only kind of reference I have is to go listen back to video or just audio if we're just recording it for fun, just to hear how it's sounding. Because yeah, it's kind of hard to know. And you're right, some of the songs you have a really good ear. I think what you're referring to is, you know, a couple of them I changed keys from the original. Because do y'all know how high Linda Ronstadt sings? Oh my God!
Right,
man.
I know.
Jeepers. I mean, like Tumble and Dice. That's a song I had never sung before. I remember hearing it as a kid, and I'm just eat up the Linda Ronstadt and Emmy and Bonnie Raitt, you know, and all those soulful, powerful women artists. And yeah, listening to Tumble and Dice, I'm like, you know, guys, I think for my voice, it's going to be better if I lower it. And I think we took it down mm-hmm. at least a step from the original. And that's something I think as an artist you've got to know, because you want to honor the song and you want to honor, you know, I need to honor my voice, what works for me, and not then have a finished product and go, ooh, not good in that key, you know, that maybe I should have lowered that or maybe I should have taken it up a bit. So I guess that's just what you learn as you go, right, with anything, always learning.
Right. Now, I would love to come see you someday. So where can I find your tour dates and see where you are going to be playing? Because I know our listeners just love going to see you. So I'm sold.
Aww,
where do I go?
Aw, you guys are so sweet. Well, to see the Icy Blue Heart Band, you can go to icyblueheart.com. Sam has been working feverishly on getting that website up and going. And you can see some videos of some of the shows we've done around in our neck of the woods here lately. We've been playing pretty regularly. And then to check out my dates and learn more about our Bring On That Horizon concerts that we're doing. We're starting to book some of those and have our first one coming up next month. I'm so excited, in Asheville, North Carolina. You can go to templetonthompson.com.
Well, Asheville, North Carolina is one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Oh, it's gorgeous, isn't it? I know. I love it. I'm really excited. We're doing a thing called Asheville Alive, and I'm going to get to ride and sing from the back of a beautiful Pasofino. I'm really excited. It's a big Pasofino.
How
event,
are you going to sing
so.
Going like up and down at 90 miles an hour?
No, I don't
How
know.
How are you
going to
sing like that?
I don't know. I'm just going to figure it out, you know, and just have fun with it. Roll with it, baby. Have a good time.
Well, Templeton, as always, you just put me in a better mood when you get on here. So TempletonThompson.com, ICBlueHeart.com, you guys get the CD. We're going to play I See Blue Heart coming up, so stick around. And Templeton, thank you, as always, for being on the show.
You are so welcome. Hey, and I wanted to let you guys know, I'm going to be probably releasing a couple of songs off of the limited edition I See Blue Heart album, because I'm not going to release this whole album as a whole. This is only for my Kickstarter rock stars like Glenn and the folks who pledged, but I can give you a hint that one of those few songs will be about horses and kind of timely for what events coming up, you know, around the first week of May. So I'm referring to Run.
There's a derby song.
Okay.
So I'm going to do that. So I just wanted to kind of let you guys know, because I haven't said anything about that yet. So you guys are the first to know. So I'm going to release it very soon. Very soon. I'm excited.
So we'll be watching for it.
Okay, right. You guys are awesome. I love y'all. Hug each other for me, okay? The whole herd. We love y'all.
Okay,
love you too,
you,
girl. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, you can't be in a bad mood after you're done talking to Templeton. It doesn't matter.
I know. I know. You go to and just say, what are your tour dates? And she's like, oh, my gosh, it's the sweetest thing ever. No, I just want to know your tour dates. I'm not sweet.
We love her. Love her music. We're going to be playing the I See Blue Heart track. That's the title track off of her CD here coming up very shortly. But first, we have to take a break for our sponsor. Never coming back, because you know what? There have been some winners on the collegiate tour this year that just happened in the last 2 weeks. And Steve Maxwell of Campus Equestrian is going to let us know who won what. And I think, Jamie, you're going to be a little happy about a little college in your state. Hi, Glenn, back with you from the Horse Radio Network. I'm here with Debbie with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week, and it's baby time.
Yes, it is. This April is when the foals start to come, and we have featuring this week all of our foal halters that we have on our site, because you want to get these babies in their halters almost immediately. In fact, as soon as they're up and nursing and moving around, you can put these halters, they're designed for babies, you can put them on them, and from the very beginning, they're used to halters and they're used to being handled. Totally, I have babies, and I totally recommend that you start doing that right away. We have several different types on our site. We have the Weaver one and the Perry's one, and they have grab straps that go with them so you can teach the little babies to lead. We've got a little foal lead line that goes with one of the halters, and we've got foal blankets in case you are living in an area that is still cold. We do have that, even though we haven't had much of a winter here. Babies are saved by some of these foal blankets during the colder winter months when they're foaler or early spring months.
Yeah, I just went into EquestrianCollections.com and searched foal, and you've got foal jewelry, and you've got you got all kinds of things for foal, foal socks.
Right. And I wanted to mention that on our web, be sure and check our Facebook page, our Equestrian Collections Facebook page. We're going to be featuring all kinds of pictures of foals on our pages, and you might want to even participate and send some pictures of your own baby.
Well, that's terrific. It's EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for foal or foal halter or foal blanket, any one of those, and you'll find the entire selection there at EquestrianCollections.com. Thank you, Debbie. We'll talk to you again next week. And now we have Steve Maxwell of CampusEquestrian.com to catch us up on who won what on the collegiate scene. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie.
Morning.
Hey, I wanted to check in with you because I've been watching the news, and it's been all over the news. Who's winning what? So you have to let us know who the big winners were.
Well, would you like me to start with the NCEA? It was basically NCAA, which is completely finished. They just recently finished their season. Or do you want me to talk about the IHSA first? Which would you like me to talk about?
Let's do the IHSA, that one first.
IHSA, goes,
which I can't say for some reason.
Intercollegiate Horse Show Association, that makes it easier. Well, they have one more show, their big year-end national show, which takes place in Raleigh, North Carolina, May 3rd through the 6th. At this point, we know all 16 teams who are in that tournament. Pretty much the tournament will have the same for English. Let me start off. For English, there will be 16 teams. 13 are repeaters from last year. The same, almost the exact same teams made it to the national show, whereas for Western, 5 of the 9 teams made it back. The big winners, I'll start with the Western. They had what's called the Western Semifinals, March 24th and 25th at three different sites around the country. And the big winners there were University of Findlay, who won in their own building. You had a bit of a surprise because Alfred University was second and Michigan State was third to Oregon State University in a semifinal held in Ocala, Florida, allowing Alfred to get back for the first time in 4 years and for Michigan State to get there for the first time also in 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. Oregon State has been going to nationals with a Western team for quite a while. The big surprise was that University of Nebraska at Lincoln won the Harrington, Delaware semifinal, and that's big because they upset Ohio State. Ohio State was 5-0 at the semifinal events over the previous 5 seasons. So that was a big deal. But Ohio State will also have a full team at the IHSA National Show. So that's the Western side. On the English side, the zone champions, they do it differently. They have 8 separate zone shows. And the winners there were Mount Holyoke College, Skidmore College, Penn State University, Goucher College. So many of these, I have to think. There's a close show. Virginia Intermont won Zone 5, and then Zone 6, that went to Miami of Ohio. Zone 7 went to University of Wisconsin at Madison. And Zone 8, as we work our way west, that went to Stanford University for the 7th season in a row. It's worth noting that of every one of those teams that won, 6 of them won in their own facility. Very interesting, I thought. That if you hosted, you pretty much won, except for Delaware Valley College was eliminated in their facility when Penn State won Zone 3 zones.
So how did you get eliminated in your own facility?
Well, they didn't. Well, I think some of the horses, quite a few of the horses were brought in from various sources. It wasn't necessarily all the horses that were already on the campus.
Ah, gotcha.
And I think that's part of it. Also, the two teams they were facing, one of them is the defending national champion, IHSA national champion, Centenary College. And Centenary is very good. Actually, that was the best zone show of the 8 because Centenary and Delaware Valley were tied going into the last class for 2nd place. Only the top 2 go on. Penn State had enough of a lead if their rider stayed on. All they had to do was, if that rider stayed on, they were going to nationals. And they did, in fact, win that class. So Centenary and Del Val, basically whoever finished ahead of the other in that last class, they were going, the other one was staying home. And Centenary finished 1 place ahead. 4 riders in the class. Centenary had the 3rd. Delaware Valley had the 4th. So Centenary, by a point, survives. They go to nationals to defend their national title. But that was very exciting. I was very, very lucky to be at that show. It was a very exciting show.
Well, and now we'll go to the other, which Jamie's
probably sitting up now and saying, okay, I can sit up. I can put down my. I was still reading. I'm waiting here. I see Blue Heart. We'll get back to Templeton Thompson. I know. But anyhow, Jamie, you want to hear that? What name the state first of all? I have a feeling you're the Southern state that you're excited about.
Well, let me just say, being a Georgia Peach born and raised in Atlanta, just, you know, with my whole family being Bulldog fans, go dog, sick 'em, woo, 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 woo. What is it? Tell me.
Well, they did pretty well. They wound up for the, on the English half, they wound up making the semifinals. They were the number 3 seed. They were number 3 team in the country. And they made it as far as the semifinals, and then the team that I had predicted all along when you first brought me on the show way back when, I said, watch out for Texas A&M. And Texas A&M, even though they were only a 7th seed in the semifinals, they were 6-2 winner over the Bulldogs. to get to the finals. And in fact, the English bracket was it was full of upsets. There's no other way to look at it. A lot of very close game, close shows, can't say close games. The Western side was a little more, as one might have predicted, based on the seedings. But on the English side, Georgia, as the 3 seed, had done pretty well, and they got to the semis where Texas A&M beat them as a 7 seed. On the Western side, your Bulldogs were also a 3 seed, coincidentally, and they made the semifinals there before number 2 seed Oklahoma State beat them 5-3. So in both cases, the number 3 seed Georgia teams got to the semis, which is not a bad thing.
This is going to hurt because in the grand scheme of things, I am from Georgia and my husband is from Oklahoma. Oh, this is going to get ugly.
I'm sorry. Well, the Cowgirls got them on that occasion. But it'll make you feel better when they got to the Western Finals. Texas A&M beat Oklahoma State. It was actually a tiebreaker. They use a raw score tiebreaker because both teams had 4 points. But Texas A&M, for the 5th time in 6 years, won the 4th in a row, actually, won the Western title. They were the 1 seed going in. Oklahoma State was the 2 seed. So pretty much you didn't have much of a surprise. You had the 1 and the 2 facing each other, whereas in the English bracket, the final 2 teams were a number 4-seeded Baylor team and a 7-seed Texas A&M team. It's a little bit misleading. Texas A&M had been very good in the fall. They weren't good in the early spring, and then they caught fire and did very well. And so they probably were a bit low. I mean, the seeding was a little bit misleading. Baylor had a very good freshman, Samantha Schaefer, who actually saved the day for them and made them a national champion. She's from Maryland. She's a freshman. So people looking ahead of time a year ago wouldn't have foreseen a newcomer like that coming in and stealing the show and helping Baylor. She didn't necessarily steal the show, but she was a big part of Baylor. Same situation, 4-4 tie. They had to go to the raw score, and Samantha Schaefer's ride was the last ride, and that's the one that gave them a better raw score than Texas A&M. So they are the national champion hunter seat team for the first time in program history, whereas overall they have a combined overall number one, and that is, in fact, Texas A&M, as you might have imagined.
Can I ask a minorly, maybe pretty dumb question? You know, you go to watch like baseball games, and like Glenn, the best baseball games for him are the ones that are, you know, 27 to 25 with like no pitcher's duels.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Okay.
The best baseball games are the pitcher's duels. It's like 1-0. It comes down to like complete game shutout by the guy, and then so you have very low scores. Now, I'm going to take this over to the intercollegiate world because you just said that they won the national championship with 4 points.
Right. It has to do with...
How did that work?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm not the biggest expert on the NCAA scoring system. They used to use a system that used these very, very high numbers where you'd say, you'd hear that, for example, you might hear Texas A&M defeated South Carolina 1,596 to 1,483.
Now, those are my kind of scores, Steve. That's what I like.
But basically, if you had been to the events, whether they announced the score that way or the way they're held now, it wouldn't have looked any different.
Right.
What happens is they somehow convert this very, very high score to, I guess, one rider beats another, so to speak, and you get a point rather than saying, I guess what they could do is they can look at it one way. They add up all the thousands of points that people get for different things, and they say, okay, well, you won that head-to-head with that rider, so that's 1-0 for you. And eventually, I guess after the 8 rides, it was 4-4. These scores always come out to 8 points. That's one of the things I can tell you. It's usually 8 different one-on-one rides is what it is. So if you get a point... But in each case, there are really all these points being added together on a separate scale, which is how they have the raw score tiebreaker.
Gotcha.
So you'll notice the score. Yeah, go ahead.
Just curious how a national championship could be 4-2 or something.
Right. Well, but to show you how the IHSA differs, when the show where Penn State won the zone 3 zones held at Delaware Valley College, Penn State. Glenn will prefer this. Penn State scored 44 points. Centenary College had 38 points, Delaware Valley had 37 points, and Rutgers University had 33 points. So it sounds like there was a little more scoring going on in there.
Okay, yeah, that sounds a little more exciting.
Yeah, I hate those pitchers' duels. They just get boring. It's like, oh, they do more spitting than pitching. But
there are only so many pitchers that can come into a game, though. I mean, they'd have to expand the number of pitchers on the roster if they were going to score 20 runs every day.
Or make the ball bigger.
The ball bigger. All right,
Glenn, I think you have a point there. That might be the key.
See, basketball, I think they should raise the net about 2 feet. But they did make the ball bigger, and they call it softball. So I guess they did.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, this is great, Speed. Now, I got to ask you about something. I'm looking at your website, and it looks like you've been doing this website, Campus Equestrian, for a long time, and then I see this note up in the upper left-hand corner.
I am for sale. That is correct. Campus Equestrian is indeed for sale. Unfortunately, I'm just not bringing in the kind of revenue I need to bring in to continue to do this the way I'd like to do it.
And you've traveled a lot. I mean, you go to a lot of these shows. You put your heart and soul into this thing.
Absolutely. No, I literally, throughout a school year, every weekend, I am at the two IHSA shows from the beginning of, really end of September. And there's a gap in January where there are very few of these shows. But until April, pretty much every weekend, I try to get to two different shows somewhere between North Carolina and Maine. Along that part of the Eastern Seaboard, try to get to two shows.
Well, that's very expensive.
It is. That's part of the issue, trying to drive. A lot of the shows, I'm a little bit blessed that where I live in New Jersey, a lot of the shows can be driven to and from in one day without a hotel stay. Just get up really early, drive 3 hours, 4 hours if necessary, and then drive back afterward.
Well, that's very sad. I know that when we first started having you on, when we started at Horses in the Morning, I talked to a couple of collegiate riders, and I said, you know, who's the expert in your industry? And every one of them said, go to Campus Equestrian. They're the ones we always look to find the scores and the stories. You're the website for the collegiate world, so I hope somebody steps up here for you.
I sure do, too, Glenn. That would be a good thing.
Yeah, well, I think that's kind of sad, and we'll keep in touch with you and follow along. If anybody wants to check it out, it's campusequestrian.com, and I noticed you put a big article there. So if somebody's interested in supporting, or if there's a sponsor out there that would like to, you know, help, if you found a backer, would you stay, or is this definitely for sale?
Absolutely. I would like to stay involved in the horse industry. I'd like to stay involved covering basically what I want to do. I've always been very upfront about this. I feel that what gets lost in a lot of the writing that goes on about the equestrian industry is the actual results of shows. Who did what? Who is winning? Who is doing well? Who is on a hot streak? What is at stake? What are people riding for? What is good riding versus bad riding? I think sometimes that there's this need to educate people more so in the United States to how everything works so they can follow it, enjoy it, and become passionate about it like I am. I think that sometimes that's lost. And I would love to continue writing about anything. It doesn't have to be about college riding, though it's where my passion is. I would love to write. I'd love to follow and track information on possibly any horse organization.
All right. Well, that's campusequestrian.com. You can reach Steve through the website there. There's contact information on there. Take a look at it. And we certainly appreciate you being involved and keeping us updated on the collegiate world. It's such a huge world that sometimes gets overlooked, and that's why we wanted to highlight it. But we do appreciate you coming on here on a regular basis and giving us updates.
Well, thank you, Glenn, and hopefully I will still be doing that down the road.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. Good luck with it.
Okay, thanks,
Steve.
Glenn. Thanks, Jamie. Take care.
Bye.
Well, that's campusequestrian.com. What a good guy. And, you know, a big heart to go around and spend his personal money to do everything he did. That's not a cheap thing to drive around and watch all these shows and pay hotel bills and gas nowadays. So.
No, I mean, I'm looking at his website, and there, you know, there's like maybe one or two sponsors on there, and the guy just heart and soul, and you can tell he'd love to keep it up. He just can't. So maybe, you know, find him some sponsors after you find us some sponsors.
Yeah, well, you know, we have the same battle all the time. Yeah, I'm gonna be honest with everybody. We have the same battle. You know, we're constantly looking for sponsors,
and trying to bring new sponsors in all the time. And it's a battle with the economy the way it is and everything that's going on in the horse world. And sponsors have so many choices now. So we're always looking for new sponsors, too. Glenn at horseradionetwork.com with two N's if you're interested in finding out more about that. So I'll get my own plug in there, too, because it is a constant battle. It's something that I got to pay Jamie. For some reason, she doesn't want to do this for free. So,
you know, I almost am. After taxes, I realize I am actually almost doing this for free.
See, that's it. I mean, that's a different show altogether. There's a lot of podcasts about that particular problem. But let's take a listen to the title track of Templeton Thompson's CD, Icy Blue Heart.
Like a slow moving cold front. His beard was warmer than the look in her eyes. She sat on a stool and said, "What do you want?" She said, "Give me love that don't freeze up." Thank you.
And that is Templeton Thompson, her new Icy Blue Heart CD. That is actually the title track, Icy Blue Heart. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And we'd like to go ahead and talk to our next guest, Victoria. Now, all the boys will swoon the moment she says hello. So, hello, Victoria.
Oh, I think Jennifer's chatting with her right now. So, she'll be here in a second.
She can't hog her.
She'll be here in 1 second, Jamie. Just 1 second.
All right. Well, let me do my little news story here because it's
okay.
kind of some interesting news, I guess. It's not sad, but the horse Dynaformer, who is at Three Chimneys Farm, he has been a very prolific sire nationally and internationally for 20 plus years anyway. He apparently had a significant cardiac event in his stall on Saturday. And they have now decided to pension him, which means he basically, he didn't already have the life. He's going to now have really the life because now he's going to go be turned out and not have to breed any more mares. Apparently he covered 20 mares this year, and none of 13 that have been checked have been pronounced in full. So they don't know about the other seven, but they've gone ahead and pensioned him. So he is done. Now, of course, Dynaformer is the father of a horse that you might have heard of named Barbaro. So very, very sought after, prolific, expensive stallion. And he is at the age of 27 years old. 27. How impressive is that to keep breeding and working that hard that late in your life? Pretty awesome. So Dynaformer pensioned. And we wish everybody at Three Chimneys the best of luck. And thank you for taking such good care of him. But we've got Victoria Spicer on the phone now. Hello, Victoria.
Hello. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. We're doing fantastic. And I just want to say thank you for coming on. Now, before we get into what you wanted to talk about, I just wanted to ask a quick question because I have been, I was searching on your website a little bit and I came across a story about Gambia, that charity makes an urgent bid appeal to help the working animals in Gambia. And they're appealing for people to send their bits. But I noticed the story was from February. Do they still need help?
Yes, I'm sure they do. It's an ongoing thing, and it's a huge problem over there. So if anybody has any spare bits, I think they're looking for 5-inch snaffles. And, do definitely check out the web story. I'll post it back on Facebook so that you can link to it, because if anybody has any spare bits, they'd be really appreciated. And
we
sent a picture.
It.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, we posted it already, because I read that and I was like, oh, my gosh, I mean, what horse person does not have a box of bits sitting in their tack room unused?
Absolutely, and they sent us a picture of the typical bit that they're using over there, and it's fairly horrific. You know, they tend to be rusted and don't fit very well. Some people just use a bit of rope through the horse's mouth, and so it is a huge problem, and it's a small change that can make a huge difference to a horse's life.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll have to see the pictures of that. But, yeah, go ahead and we post that on our Facebook page. You can find the address of where to mail stuff, but do something good today. Clean
Definitely.
Up your karma, people. Do something nice. Okay, so, Victoria, we've been waiting till we got you on to talk about the Grand National, and I know that you were there, so can you give us the full-on recap? Because I just didn't think I would cover it as well as you would.
Well, I didn't actually get to go to Aintree myself, but it's a race that I always watch on television, and it's a national obsession, basically, you know. Everybody watches it here. It's the one day a year when racing is in the public's eye. And I think 600 million people tune in to watch it because it's exported all around the world by the BBC. So it's a huge race day. And unfortunately, this year was marred by the death of two horses. And so what's really sad for racing is that, you know, if you follow racing like I do and you're watching it day in, day out, and you know that fatalities are an unavoidable part of racing, I wish they weren't, but they will happen, and nobody really notices or pays much attention, and then suddenly everybody watches the Grand National, and I think they think that racing is constantly like this, and there's calls for it to be banned, which is not the best thing for racing or equestrianism at large, really.
Now, we should clarify that it is not a flat race, right?
No, I mean, the Grand National has been around since 1839. It's an institution, and there are, you know, 40 horses taking part and 30 huge fences. I mean, these make badminton look tiny, and they're huge big hedges with ditches and, like, sharp turns afterwards. So they're not easy by any stretch of the imagination, but it's one of the most exciting, thrilling races. You know, you've got a sea of horses pouring over these huge big hedges, and it's nerve-wracking to watch. And if a horse gets round and is in the lead, you know, he deserves his place in racing history, and that's what the winners get. They get remembered forever.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Isn't this what National Velvet was, and didn't she go to the Grand National?
Absolutely, and she might have won, but we've never had a girl win the Grand National, although this year one came third. It's a girl called Katie Walsh, whose brother Ruby Walsh is a very famous jockey, and so she did brilliantly. She came quite close to winning it, and that would have been a brilliant headline, but I was very happy because I'd put a little bet on Neptune's Collonge who won, so I was quite happy. But what was really upsetting was two horses died, and one of them synchronized one month, which is as prestigious as, probably more prestigious than the Grand National, but it's more of a racing purist race, and it's like the Olympic Games of racing, really. It's really high profile, and he won that race and then was lost in the National, so that's really sad. And the other horse that died was a little homebred thoroughbred that somebody had raised in a little paddock behind their house, and it must be awful to be leaving the race meeting with an empty box. I think there can be nothing worse for the connections and the owners and the trainers and the people who look after these horses on a daily basis.
Oh man, it's just heartbreaking, and I know that there's a monster debate going on right now. Now, with such a storied history, do you think that anything will change, or is this debate just going to happen, you know, kind of year after year at this point?
Well, it does come up every year, and, you know, for example, there was a race a few weeks ago in Dubai, which was the Dubai Gold Cup, and a horse broke down so badly in the first circuit that they had to void the race. There was no way of clearing the stands before the horses came round for the second circuit, and they re-ran the race a few hours later, and another two horses broke down in the race and had to be put down. And so it's one of these things that, you know, it's not just the Grand National that this happens in, but it's the Grand National that everybody talks about for weeks afterwards. Last year, two horses died, and they made a number of modifications. They made the fences have less severe drops, and they tightened up the restrictions as to which horses could actually enter the race. And the thing is, I think it has been made a little bit safer, and what happened this year was just unfortunate accidents. We had Synchronized, who just stumbled a little bit on landing. His rider fell off, and the horse continued round the course, and five fences later he fell on as a loose horse, and that's when he broke a leg. And the other horse was brought down by a different runner. So it's freak accidents, and any change that they had made would not have prevented those accidents from happening.
Right. Yeah, it's just kind of a sport like that. And I mean, all horse sports, you know, at some point or another are going to be dangerous. And it just opens a big debate that we don't even really need to get into.
Absolutely.
We'll let them debate it for us. So we'll move on. We don't need to talk about this sadness anymore. Let's talk about the cutest thing that I have seen on your website in like a while. Oh, my gosh. Fat ponies. I looked at this. This is such a great idea. Tell everybody about the fat Shetlands.
Well, I've heard of people being employed to be hound exercises in the summer when they have to go and walk hound puppies. But this is Shetland.
Yeah, dog walkers. they're dog walkers in the United States, not hound, whatever.
Well, hounds are like working dogs, but yes, and we do have dog walkers as well. But now they want Shetland walkers because nobody can ride these tiny little ponies. They're not even your standard Shetlands. They're very dinky, and there's a shortage of very small children who would be able to ride them. So they want people who will go and lead them round and keep their weight down a little bit.
So what?
They need little treadmills.
Like, how did this happen? What kind of place is this that has all these fat ponies? And so they're basically like, hey, people, come to our place and get some exercise and take our ponies for walks. And they say you can even lead your dog on the other side. They'd be happy to take you around. So tell everybody, where is this place and how can they go walk some fat ponies?
World Horse Welfare are one of the biggest equine charities in Britain, and so they've got a number of homes, and this is their main headquarters in Norfolk, so a couple of hours from London. And I think they tend to rehome their ponies, but these are ones that are living on site and need daily exercise, and so that's the solution they came up with.
I love it. I love the idea. And the pictures are like, basically, they're just dragging around these fat little ponies. So you can see that on horseandcountry.tv. Now, we have 9 days until Rolex Kentucky 4 start. You guys have, 16 days or something till badminton. So you've got, a rider, Hugh Thomas, talking about it, and then Sharon Hunt blogs about it. Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, Hugh Thomas is actually
the director
of badminton, and he did ride that many years ago, but he is the course designer as well. So we've got a really interesting interview with him that talks about the course and what's to be expected and whether he made any changes, bearing in mind we've got the Olympics over here in a couple of months' time. And Sharon Hunt is a very successful four-star rider. She won, I think, Le Moulin a couple of years ago. And she is one of those poor riders who have entered badminton but are on the waiting list. And I think she's got 16 riders or something ahead of her. So I think she's praying that lots of people change their mind about running their horses and she might just sneak an entry. Her horse is going well and she's very keen to have a go with her.
Well, we were just talking about this earlier. There's definitely one entry that's available. That's Peter Adkins, who is Australian, lives here in the U.S., was out hacking his horse the day before they were leaving for badminton and fell off and broke his leg.
I heard that. It's so sad. It's just one of these things, It's a shame we can't wrap riders and horses up in cotton wool and bring them up to the big events, but you can. We've got to keep them going, get them fit, and keep them running run up to big events, and sadly these kind of things can happen.
It sure can. Well, what's coming up on the Sky 280, and what can we see on HRTV before we let you go? The sound is starting to get a little bit worse.
Well, HRTV are showing a selection of our programs now. They're no longer doing a two-hour block, but they're showing several of our programs, so do check out in the listings and look out for things from over here in Britain. And if you're living over here and have Sky, you can watch our badminton course walk preview, so you can get to have a look around the course a couple of weeks before the big event and see just how terrifying it is for 2012.
Yeah. I'm moving up to training level, which I don't know what you guys call that over there, but I'm terrified just to do that. I cannot imagine, my coach is going to Rolex and then these guys preparing for badminton. I cannot even imagine how unbelievably terrifying it has to be to do anything of that nature. And to have a waiting list of people that want to do that crap? No way.
I know.
No way. Crazy. Well, you guys go see Victoria at horseandcountry.tv, and you can check out the England versus USA polo test match. That's the video of the week, and we got the blog of the week, and go check out some fat ponies that need to be hand-walked. Good luck.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Victoria.
Thank you.
Well, that was Victoria from Horse and Country TV. We appreciate her coming over every time. Sorry about the sound quality there. But you know what? We've had worse with her, actually. It wasn't as bad as it has been before.
Exactly. It started to get a little bit, like Jen said, it sounds like a plane taking off.
Yeah, it sounds like she's
come
in a plane.
Come away from the runway. Step away.
before we get away from eventing, you mentioned badminton. The eventing radio show, Chris, that Chris Stafford does, we put it out early this week. It is now live. This week's episode usually comes out on Thursday, and we put it out on Tuesday because as part of that episode, she had Matt Ryan on, who takes a look, co-hosts the show and takes a look at the badminton horse trials. So they take a in-depth look at that. And also at the beginning of that show, she did a tribute to Amy David and Karen O'Connor. So at the very beginning of that episode, she spends a good 15 minutes with David and Karen O'Connor talking about Amy Tryon. So I wanted to encourage everybody to hop on over to the Eventing Radio Show. It's episode 190, and you can hear that tribute to Amy Tryon there at the Eventing Radio Show. That's now live.
Cool.
Have
yeah.
your well, tissues handy, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
I've already cried. Just talking to Barb, who was friends with her, just, you know, brings tears to your eyes. So very sad. And I wonder, you know, how it's going to be weird without Amy Tryon at Rolex. It's just not going to be. Yeah.
She's been there forever. We've had Greg on the show before and on the Eventing Radio Show. I've seen him at every her husband. I've seen him at every, you know, Rolex. Apparently there's a service on Friday out in Washington, and then they are going to do a special service for her at Rolex, I found out. So,
okay, good.
There'll be a special service in honor of Amy there as well. There won't be a dry eye there either. That's
no.
for sure. Yeah, go ahead. I was just going to say that.
Speaking of Rolex, really cool thing that they're doing is handing out free admission. If you have a current college ID, and I think you have to have all college students with a current Kentucky college ID. So if you go to school, like at UK, they're giving free admission to the kids April 26th. That's the Thursday day. And whoop, whoop. Free military for all current and former military personnel having a military ID and their entire families are given free admission on Friday, April 27th. So the first, in addition to the free admission and reserve seating, the first 500 military personnel to arrive on Friday are going to be given free admission to the Kentucky Reigning Cup competition, which is at 6 p.m. on Friday evening. So just awesome, awesome, awesome that they're doing that.
Yeah, that's terrific. And you're going to do Thursday, you're doing a little bit of a preview show. Well, we're doing a little bit of a preview show this Thursday
like, what?
In 2 days. we're going to have a couple of, hopefully get a couple of the new riders in. Barb, is this her first time, your coach, is this her first time at Rolex?
No, she was she was at Rolex 2 years ago with the same horse, but did not make it to show jumping. He did a suspensory, I believe. So, you know, for her to have him back and bring him back after an injury like that to a 4-star event is just epic. So this is such a big moment. This horse that she's riding, the horse's name is Ever Ready that Barb's riding, and this is a homebred. She owned this horse's mother and bred this horse and raised it from a foal all the way up to a 4-star event horse. So it's just such a great story that she has had with this horse. And to be there is awesome. To see her do well is just going to put me over the moon. So, and I'm sure her too. So we're going to talk to her on Thursday with one or two of her eventing friends and just kind of see what their preparations have been, where they have been going, how they've been schooling, how they've been practicing, trying to get everything ready. So it should be a great show. Definitely don't want to miss that on Thursday. Just to hear from these guys that are, you know, we're not going to talk to the Buck Davisons and the Boyd Martins on that day. We're talking to the guys that are, you know, like Barb, who are scratching away, just trying to get there. So that's who we're going to have on Thursday. So definitely, I hope you guys can tune into that. I want to be
Friday.
There. I want to hear it.
You better. Friday, we'll have Really Bad Ads will be back this Friday. And Jennifer, you have a prize lined up for this week, don't you? I forget what it was. You're going to have to help me out there.
This Friday's prize is a gift package from Well Horse. A fantastic boo-boo stuff. It comes in a little spray bottle, and it's boo-boo stuff, and it kills all kinds of bad, creepy things, and it's all natural, does not test, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And hopefully we're going to be hearing from the inventor, Tim Demma,
I think he's going to be on Thursday to talk a little bit about how he came across this product. It's made from trees from the South America or something. But I've used it. It's very popular in Lexington, Kentucky, because we have creeping crud like nobody's business there. And it is a fantastic product. They make well horse for skin, and they also make the same product for thrush and white Lyme disease. And it's a very effective product.
Question. Is this something that will get the scurf off the front of your horse's cannon bones on the hind legs?
No, a curry comb will do that.
Sandpaper, maybe.
Man, I'm not kidding you. I haven't had this problem since I moved from Georgia, but these two new horses that we got both have that crud on the back of their – what is that? I want to find out, listeners, what is that crud on the back of the front of the cannon bones on the back legs? I mean, how do they get that there? Is it like pee on their legs,
is it gray greasy crud, or is it when you brush it, it all comes out in big chunks crud?
What was your first question? Is it what?
is it gray greasy crud like somebody spread dirty Crisco on their legs, or is it when you brush them? All of a sudden, the hair and the hide and everything starts to come out in big chunks.
It's both of those. Like, you know, it looks like lumpy, and then you comb it, and the gray weird stuff comes out of it. But you get, you know, you curry comb it enough, and it starts to bleed, and they get pretty peed off that you start doing it.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm not a fan of that. Now, I have done things like spread Ixtamal on it, and then, like, 3 days later, wash it off, and it's gone, and... You know, there's a million different ways to treat it, I guess, but that's why I was asking if this product is for that, because then I'll have to go get some.
if it's caused by a fungus, a bacteria, a virus, or something like that, this stuff works. It's awesome.
Well, I wonder what it is caused from. Does anybody know? All right. Well,
I have
to put that question out there. Every person knows, and everybody knows what I'm talking about, because even the mare we have has it. Like, three horses right now here have that crud on the back of their back legs on the front of their cannon bones. It's frustrating.
Well,
anyway, that's my rant.
Okay.
Sorry.
One other thing. By the way, maybe one of those wire wheels you hook to your drill. That'll take care of it. No problem.
Oh, sure. That'll go over well.
Hey, one other thing, too. The Western Radio Show has a little bit of a contest going on right now on their Facebook page, and you can win a Professional's Choice pad and or saddle blanket, right, Jennifer, from Professional's Choice?
Yeah.
And it's just really nice saddle blanket. And, you know, as you know, Professional's Choice has nice stuff. All you have to do is post a photo of the view from your horse. Post a photo as you're riding on your horse of a view, and they're going to pick the best view to win that, and I noticed that my brother actually posted, and it's the view Jennifer gets. I'm going to post a link to that. It's the view that Jennifer gets when she's riding through the neighborhood here, and I'm going to post this right now for you to look at, Jamie. This, and all the listeners, let me get back to horses in the morning now. This is the view that Jennifer sees now when she's riding through the new neighborhood. Let me write this in. View Jen sees in the new. And I think it's going to give you an appreciation when she said yesterday how it's kind of a jungle-like down here. This will give you an idea. I just posted it. Hit refresh on Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And that will give you an idea of what it's like to ride through our neighborhood here in Florida in Ocala. It is very... over,
it's taking me a second.
Over the top jungle like, for sure. And Jennifer,
there. Yo, my gosh, it is. You know, that looks like Florida and Georgia to me completely. And you guys have the trees with the red moss, the moss that hangs down.
Well,
the gray moss.
We have tons of that Spanish moss. We have tons of Spanish moss, and then there's apparently another moss which we haven't seen yet that. It lays dormant until it rains, and then it turns a real bright green. I forget the name of it. But Wayne said, and we haven't had the rain yet, so Wayne said when it rains, you're going to see your trees are going to turn this bright green, the trunks from this moss. We have not seen that yet. I can't wait to see that, too.
That's cool. Yeah, just so you know, that that Spanish moss that's hanging down, don't just go pick it up and gather it. You know, use a rake and then like a shovel or something, because there are bugs in that moss.
Yeah, Jennifer's learned that, I think, the hard way.
Oh, no. Yes, red, little teeny tiny red bugs about the size of the tip of a, you know, pen. Just all over that. And I learned that as a child the hard way, as I'm collecting all this moss, and I've got like just armfuls of it, and I'm walking to the house, and I've got it, like, my arms are out, the moss is pressed to my chest, and I'm carrying it in the house, and my mom's like, "Woo, put that down," you know, hoses me off.
Well,
yeah.
There's Jennifer's view. I thought I'd post that too, and
that's awesome.
To give you some idea of what she sees now when she's riding here. Does that look like it, Jennifer? That's it, right?
That's it.
Yeah, I think so. All right, well, let's
that
wrap it up.
That looks like really a lot of fun to gallop through is what that looks like to me.
I don't think she's galloped yet. You haven't galloped yet through it. The
well,
sand is very
I've been
soft.
Going slow so I can learn my way around a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and the sand, you said, is very soft through there.
The sand is very soft where the turf is torn up, so I'm kind of getting to know the lay of the land. I was forewarned. Pam's been giving me lots of advice because she's been here for a while now. I think today we're going to go out, and we're going to go out in a certain section and go a little faster.
Beaker, by the way, to give a Beaker report, he's adjusting. He is now settled with the fact after about 5 days that he's not going to get any more of that Kentucky green grass. The first couple of days he was going, "Oh, where's the candy? I really want the candy back." And he was moping and he was whining, and you could just hear him out there sighing heavily, going, "The grass down here doesn't even taste right. I have no grass to eat. The hay is icky. I just don't like anything about it." And you could just see him. He was moping and whining and crying. And then Jennifer took him out for a couple long rides, which he loves to trail ride. So took him out for the couple long rides, and then his attitude started getting better. And now he's scarfing up every bit of hay and grass he can find. I guess he's figured, this is the best it's going to get. I'm going to go back to eating now.
So. Yeah, you know, they only starve themselves in protest for so long. Eventually, their belly starts going, "Rah, rah, rah, ah, you need to eat."
You probably had the same thing when you move horses to the desert. I mean, when they're coming from a place like Kentucky where the grass is candy, it's chocolate. I mean, it's chocolate as chocolate could get. And you take them and say, "You can't have chocolate anymore." I'd be mad, too, for a couple of days.
Well, I'm going to tell you that when I brought my warm blood here, Demure, he was on the van. He was shipped out here, and I was at the barn to meet him. And the place that most places in Phoenix, fortunately, I have irrigated pastures now, so we have grass, but most places don't have grass. So he unloads and he gets here on August 3rd to this facility, where he gets out of the trailer and literally looks at me and I was like, looks around and he looks at me and he's like, "You've got to be kidding me. Seriously?" It's 117 degrees when he got off the trailer. He's like, "I'm getting back in. I don't care where you take me. Please take me with you." So, not the best time of the year to ship them over here, but eventually they get hungry.
And I guess they kind of adapt to the heat. Now, it's been absolutely beautiful weather here. I mean, we've had the most perfect weather since we moved here. It's been in the 80s. It's been low humidity. The breeze has been blowing. And we're going, you know, this Florida thing, everybody says it's hot. It's perfect. And, you know, we know that's going to change in about a month, and we're going to be complaining miserably. But we're enjoying the hell out of it right now. It's beautiful.
I would. Well, hey, let's wrap the show up, but I do want to, before we go, I got to give a little shout out, because one of our listeners, a Man Nation listener, he's an adult male, an English rider. I mean, it's rare. He's got to be like the biggest catch ever. Joel Rietzloff, he posted he sent me a message, and you guys have been talking about Beaker so much that he has a bird named Beaker, or he had just last week it passed away, and he was very, very sad. And he just asked that we give him a little mention here, a little shout out to the best bird. And so there you go, Joel. We're really sorry that you lost your Beaker, and your namesake continues on. He will be galloping through the trails in Ocala in no time.
That's right. That's right. I didn't think about it that way. Yeah, that is sad. You know, we've had birds over the years. My brother still has birds. And they live so long that they do become part of the family because they live a long time.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, my guinea pig's a part of the family. So I understand having something for a long time. My God. So what do you feel for you, Joel?
What an up and down day with babies and broken legs and Joel there. It's just been an up and down day, but we're done for today. We're going to be back again tomorrow with another new show. So tune in at 9 a.m. Eastern. Don't forget, you can find all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Sorry for the bipolar. I told them it was going to be bipolar at the beginning of the show. I said it.
Yes, you did. Hey, see you at Steelers.
Spay, neuter, and kill people.